Hello, listener. This is Marty V, and I have exciting news. Romance Writers Therapy is now sponsored by Plotter.com. That's Plotter.com. And as you remember from our conversation with Troy Lambert, Plotter is a storyboarding software that makes moving around the pieces of your story in a really color-coded, lovely way, but also very intuitive to use the software. So if you haven't checked out Plotter.com, go do that. Thank you, Plotter, for sponsoring our adorable little podcast, and we're happy to bring you on board. Hello, and welcome to Romance Writers Therapy. I'm Marty V, and that's Kate Pryor. Yeah.
Yes.
And
I have the hiccups.
She has the hiccups, and that's why you heard my voice first. I'm sorry if it was jarring, listener.
I don't think it'd be jarring.
I mean, my mom's definitely gonna be like, "This is right."
Oh, they hurt.
No, no. Painful hiccups. That's terrible.
Is there a non-painful version of hiccups?
Mine aren't usually painful. It's just like if I have them for a while, they get really annoying.
Oh, okay. Mine are always like painful.
That sucks. So aside from the hiccups, yeah. How you doing?
I would say I'm doing pretty good. I was telling you recently, I've been getting a lot of writing done.
That's awesome. Are you still working on this, like, new little project?
No, actually, the fun thing is as soon as I was like, I'm committed to getting a lot of stuff done on the new little project, I was like, what if I wrote a new chapter for the old thing, though?
That's hilarious. I love how your mind works.
Yeah, it's like, as soon as I'm like, I will commit to this, it's like, no, I won't.
No. I started editing that short story today, so got that going. And I'm rewriting that opening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, yeah.
So right now I just have a bunch of like question marks of like, is this too much backstory? Because it takes like 300 words before someone says anything, right? Before any dialogue happens. And that just feels like a lot. I don't know.
It always feels like a lot. I feel like I do that too, where I'm like, okay, we're going to write a lot of just like internal monologue or... anything that isn't, like, I feel like dialogue is so important up front because it really gives you a sense of character and it gives you a sense of, like, I don't know, like, the story is moving and you don't have to slog through a bunch of, like, exposition in order to get where the story's going. Like, it immediately starts the story.
I was just going to say, it's like, dialogue is just fast reading. Like, it just paces fast, right? Because there's so much white space around dialogue.
Yeah.
And... so I think that that's why dialogue particularly is so helpful at the beginning of books, because like then you're getting into the story at your fastest pace. And right now it doesn't have it, but it's also like a very voicey open. We'll see. I need to have this thing like edited like this week. That's where I'm at on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where you're at. So I need to like hurry up on the beta read process.
I'm available for it, but if not, I will just do my best. So I have a pretty good idea of like some specific things I need to change and stuff like that.
I have like the document open on my big monitor. So, and it's like zoomed in so you can see sharp intakes of breath, her chest rising in quick jerks. Oh God, Elijah.
Oh God.
And like in really big letters. And I'm just like, I need to remember to minimize this window if anyone comes over.
Yeah, no joke.
Cause like, I don't know, my brain was like, the best way to like tackle beta reading when I'm like, you know, just out of sorts is just make the font really
big. That's hilarious. That actually sounds like a pretty good idea. So I've been taking my laptop to the office, right?
Ooh, yeah, because you've been going back to the office.
Yeah, because I'm getting back to the office. It's very exciting. And so, like, as a new, like, experience to be, like, is everything minimized the way it needs to be? Like, is everything that can't be seen not on screen? It's so stressful.
God, yeah. I would, like, write during work.
Yeah.
And like the I use like a size 6 font when I'm writing at work. You know, just because I don't want anyone to like be able to like glance over my shoulder. Yeah.
And certain words just really stand out.
Yeah, they really do. But like, there was like a trade show I was doing. I was the only person like hooked up to the internet. I had my laptop out on the counter, and I left to go to the bathroom for like a second, and I had closed Google Chrome entirely. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I did not have the document up. But when I came back from the bathroom, my boss and my HR lady had commandeered my laptop because I left it open to check their email, but they had just clicked on Google Chrome and it just opened the last thing I had open, which was my story in the middle.
Oh no.
And so like neither of them have mentioned it to me, but I'm also like dying on the inside. Like I know they would both be cool about it, but also like, bruh, you did not need to do that to me.
Yeah, that's so stressful.
Like, use Internet Explorer. I don't...
Yeah, no. Why would you do that? Well, and, like, I just wonder, like, what... Like, everyone has stuff like this, right? Like, this isn't just an exclusively romance writer thing, right? Like, everyone has, like, stuff that, like, they don't want their work to, like, be a part of.
Exactly. And, like, it's just... I think... Romance is possibly some of the worst stuff that you could, not worst, but just like.
Most embarrassing.
Easily most compromising, embarrassing. Yeah. Stuff to like have strewn out on your business.
Yeah. But it's been great to get to the office.
Yeah.
It really has. I'm falling behind on writing, which is disappointing, but, or at least I feel like I am. I don't know.
I feel like. The mood is always falling behind on writing. There's no such thing as I'm ahead on my writing.
Yeah, that's true. I've never heard an author say that.
Because, like, the minute you feel like you're ahead, you actually just move your deadlines up mentally. You're like, actually, I could release this book early, so now I'm falling behind.
That's such, yeah.
Like, oh my god. I don't even remember who this was, but I saw someone posting, like, the book's ahead of schedule, so I'm releasing it a month early. And I had a moment of, like... You could have taken that month off.
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself? Like, I get being excited and wanting to, like, have things done and out there and off of your, like, just out of your hands. It's such a nice feeling. And you're so excited to show this book to the world. But at the same time, it's like, oh, if you could just give yourself that time.
I am someone who, like, will get something done and sit on it for a while, right? But, like, some people just don't have that. Like, some people literally, like, do not have, like, I get this done and I just let it sit.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not my preferred state, but there's something really great about being like, okay, I am not completely frazzled as I go into all this marketing. I am comfortably, like, moving on to other things. I don't know. I will always choose, like, I'm just going to sit on this and then I can prep marketing stuff. Before releasing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because, like, there's so much time and effort goes into creating the marketing stuff. And I always, like, mentally just, I don't know, kind of discount that time and effort. I'm like, oh, yeah, and then I'll just do that the week of.
Well, and then also it's like, I'll do that while also continuing at the same pace with the writing and living my life and all those things. And it's like, that's not how time works. Like, you don't just spend 5 minutes on some sort of graphic and then post it all willy-nilly. Like, it all takes a lot of mental energy and playing around and, like, time just disappearing because you think it's only been 5 minutes, but it's actually been a half hour. Anyway, that's how I feel about it.
Anyway. This is our season ender episode.
It is our season ender.
Wow, my hiccups are gone.
What?
My hiccups are gone. Yay. I don't even know when that happened. I don't know. Yeah, okay. Fantastic. Love it.
So,
yes, season
Yeah, later. So Kate and I are going to do, like, a cute thing where she'll give me two tropes and I'll come up with a story premise and then I give her two tropes and she does the same. I think we could also wildcard it and be like, but make it mafia, like, sort of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And, yeah. And so we can just, like, throw these things out.
I don't know... Because you didn't tell me about the wild card part before. So
prepare.
I'm like,
prepare your brain.
That does make it harder.
I mean, and, like, Kate is making it out like I gave her a ton of time with this idea. Like, I texted it to her like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, you did tell me this 10 minutes
ago.
Yeah, but
you were like, I was like, are we recording tonight? And you were like, yeah, we need to do our season finale. I'm like, crap, we don't have a plan for the season finale. So we just started, like, making up ideas.
Just start throwing things
I
at
did.
Me.
Fuck, marry, kill, trope style. Like,
well, because, like, I feel like our season has been so heavy on, like, tropes and dissecting mm-hmm. them. Which I know that, like, I feel like a lot of people are just over the word trope in general.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, it's like, they're so important in the building mm-hmm. blocks. And when I think it comes to a discussion of how you structure a story, that it's like, I don't think you can kind of just be like, eh, I'm done with them.
Yeah, no, that's...
Because they're still going to be
they're
there.
They're still going to be there. And, like, no matter what genre you're writing in, there are still tropes there. I think more so people are just kind of over, like, the hyperfixation of
the
it.
The marketing with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, no, I do agree. If you just throw, like, four tropes at someone and be like, that's all the marketing for this book, it's like... You have told people nothing.
Yeah.
You've given them nothing to, like, really hook them. These are things that build interest, I definitely
yes.
think. But I don't think you can survive on them.
Well, and I think also, like, we came into a season where it was, like, people said, like, a series of tropes. And people were like, oh, that sounds really good. And then so everyone was like, oh, this is my new marketing technique. And then it became, like, oversaturated. Now people are like, I want you to actually tell me what your book is about.
I mean, I think that's just how the pendulum swings. It's like people want to hear the long form mm-hmm. thing and then they move back to a shorter, more quicker format and then they move back to the longer format and it just kind of goes back and forth. I feel like you can track that with like any
Everything.
Kind of media. Like my dad pointed this out to me years ago. He was like, songs like start to get longer until you get into like the 6 minute range of songs and then like they start getting shorter again down to like
that.
The 1 minute 30 seconds.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and I was like, that is such a weird thing to like notice. But like my dad is such a numbers guy that it's like, yeah, of course you would
exactly.
see that.
Exactly. That's interesting. Well, do you want me to throw tropes at you right now or do you want to be the first?
Do you
want
to do rock, paper, scissors?
No, because that didn't work out the other night.
That didn't work out the other night that we did rock, paper, scissors over the phone?
And then I was like, because it was with Kate and our friend Rebecca, and I was like, next time we're doing, you know, numbers between 1 and 10, and was it you or Rebecca that was like, how will we know what number it is?
It was me that said that.
It was
That's
me. What I thought.
Please, YX.
That was so cute.
The thing though is that I fully beat Rebecca because I said what did I say? Scissors? And
yeah.
No, I said rock and then she said scissors and I was like, oh, she beat me.
Yeah, and I was like
And then you
Well, what's funny is like your voice sounded like Rebecca to me. And so
just
I thought she
moment.
Won. And she's like, no, she won. She said rock. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like you were like, okay, but you won. And I'm like, no, you said rock. I'm so confused. who is talking right now?
Okay, so what am I doing? Am I just guessing a number between 1 and 10 and you tell me if I get it right?
No.
Like I'm
okay, just a second.
So curious to how this is gonna work.
Right or left?
Right?
That's you. You go first.
That's me? Ow.
I assigned. Ow.
Oh, okay.
I assigned
so I'm
the
going
left
first
hand.
In what sense? I tell you the tropes?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay, good, because I actually thought of my tropes
oh,
beforehand.
Good, because
I
did not.
I thought, this is so mean.
Okay, so I have some mean tropes. Okay, what are my tropes?
Well, okay, so let's establish what you're doing when I give you the tropes. You're telling me what are you coming up with characters? Are you coming up with like
I think just kind of like a quick
like a synopsis kind
more
of thing?
Or less,
or like the beats.
Yeah. Not too time consuming. I figure we'll do a couple of these back and forth.
Oh, okay. I only did one.
Well, I made it to do any
but
all right. So okay. You're already beating me.
Okay. So are we keeping score?
How would we keep score? I would love to keep score. I love winning.
I mean, who doesn't? I hate winning.
Shut up, Kate.
Sorry.
I mean, who oh my doesn't? God.
I'm glad we have high energy for this.
Yeah, me too. I don't know how we would keep score. Like, how do we gamify this?
No, okay, no, I feel like I would time you, and I don't.
Oh, that sounds so stressful. Yeah, my brain doesn't work if there's a clicking clock.
I hate timed events in like video games where it's like you have 3 minutes to run the entire obstacle course, and it's like no,
now my thumbs never getting finished. Are entirely clumsy. So I have terrible hand-eye coordination, right? But I have very decent rhythm.
Okay.
These two things are important to know. Andrew and I, when we were at our concert last month, I'm dancing, I'm like snapping my fingers to the beat, I'm having a good old time. And then he's like, "All right, everybody, clap." And I look at Andrew and I go, "I hate clapping."
I'm just imagining you shouting this out. A bunch of heads turning around, like, why are you here? Music sucks.
I hate clapping. And like my arms went up and went down, all like frustrated, like. So obviously Andrew thought it was hilarious. And then I start clapping on beat. And he's like, "What the hell is going on?" It's like one hand is chasing the other. He's like, "I see why you hate clapping. This is terrible to watch." I can't clap on rhythm, but I have good rhythm. I just have terrible hand-eye coordination.
Okay. God, I cannot imagine what this looks like. One hand chasing the other.
It's so funny. It really is. I'll have to see if Andrew will record me. Oh, man. It's so close, but it's so off. Because, like, all of my instincts are, like, now, and then my hands are, like, but wait. Thing. Okay. Okay, what are my tropes?
Hang on, I'm writing show notes for the description. Marty loves winning, hates clapping.
I hate clapping! Oh, man.
Okay.
There was another moment where a girl like headbanged behind me and I didn't know it. And her locks hit my forehead, right? And I was like, is it raining in here? Right? Because it just kind of like felt like water drops that were dry, right?
Just a little bloop. Yeah.
And
then
I turn around and I see her locks. And I'm like, it was just her locks. And then I realize her locks are not that long. We are so lucky we didn't just like biff each other's heads.
Okay, yeah, I'm glad you didn't get concussed.
I'm so glad neither of us did. It was wonderful. We both continued having a great time.
Clapping has not concussed anybody also.
Yeah, because, like, I leaned back as she, like, was headbanging forward. So it was, like, we must have just barely missed each other's craniums. Like, yeah. God. It was so fun.
Mosh pit of two fatalities.
Yeah, exactly. Two birds, one headbang.
Yeah.
Okay,
so this thing, you're gonna give me the, honestly, let's go, I feel like we could go as long as you're comfortable with it.
I think as long as it takes to like kind of pull together a story.
Yeah, or like until like it stops being
funny. Exactly. Let's be real.
Until it stops being funny.
Until it pitters out.
Yeah.
Okay,
your tropes.
My tropes
are kidnapping.
Oh, okay. You put me right in my my comfort zone, I see.
Yes. I was like, you know what? I haven't read in so long a good kidnapping.
Well,
romance.
Just hold on to your hat, friend. Got one coming your way.
Yes. Yes, thank
you. Okay, what's my other trope?
Snowed in to make it a little easier on you.
That is kind of easy. I mean, obviously they got kidnapped. And then there's a snowstorm, and they fall in love.
Well, that was about 2 seconds till it stopped being funny, so, like, there we go. Let's move on.
Do you want to give me a different one than snowed in?
Different one than Snowed In. Oh my gosh. Best Friend. Friends to Lovers.
Friends to Lovers.
And Kidnapping. And
Kidnapping. You know what? I could do a do a twist with Snowed In.
Okay, okay. So going back on that.
Yes, going back. Okay. Okay. Right. Here we go twisting it. So we're going to make it so our man folk gets kidnapped, right?
Ooh, okay. And that is a twist. I do feel like it's always the lady being kidnapped. It is always
the lady. And our bodyguard is the woman. I'm gonna do a hetero because that's what I normally write and read. So our lady gets him out of there, and they are fleeing the situation, and they're being chased, and like it's a very snowy place, and as they're being chased, there's an avalanche, and they end up like finding shelter in like a cabin, and so they get away from the other people, or not a cabin, in a cave, and so the other people get washed away in the avalanche or whatever happens to people in avalanches. Okay. And
the Dilatov Pass or whatever it's exactly called.
And so when it calms down, they're now like seeking permanent shelter, and they end up in a cabin, and it continues to snow, and they're stuck in there, and she thinks that he's like petulant and annoying, but you know, also hot, and
okay,
he thinks she's
conflicting.
What?
Conflicting things.
Yes.
Yeah, IMO, but
he thinks that she's bossy and insensitive, but also hot. And
okay,
while they're snowed in, they're also trying to coordinate their location to get help, but because this person, he's more than just a normal human, right?
He's more than just a normal human. In, like, a paranormal way or, like, a celebrity
way? I see why you would assume that with how I said it. But okay. I mean, like, he is, like, someone of import to, like, a country, right?
Okay.
And so they're trying to coordinate their location, but they're having a hard time with the snow and stuff. And then maybe she climbs up really high but slips and has, like, an injury. And so we have also a, like, care for me trope that happens too, right? A nursing to health trope that happens too.
Okay.
And eventually they get rescued. And I think that's where we're gonna stop right now, but that's it in a nutshell with Snowed In.
Well,
how do you...
So you really hit the Snowed In part well.
Did I throw away the kidnapping?
It's like micro tropes. You did kind of throw away the kidnapping trope.
You know what? It opens with a kidnapping and we're done. Do you want me to try better with the kidnapping?
I wonder how you would like reverse engineer the kidnapping into that.
Double kidnapping.
Double kidnapping? They're both kidnapped?
No. No, he gets kidnapped again. Their location gets discovered.
Oh, no.
And she's like, God damn, I just saving this man.
So when I think kidnapping trope, I think it's like the person who's...
The captor is the love interest.
The love interest and the captor are love interests together.
Okay. Let's go back to the drawing board.
That's why it's problematic.
It is problematic. All right. So our man folk has been kidnapped. And...
Okay. By the bodyguard?
Yes, it's still the bodyguard, but she turns out to have been a secret agent the whole time. She's a mercenary. And she was paid to double-cross him, right? And so she just needs to get him to this drop-off. But because of a winter storm, she's not able to. And so they seek shelter in a cabin, but it continues to storm. And now they're snowed into the cabin. And he hates her, but she's hot.
Okay.
And she still thinks he's petulant, but he's hot. And maybe they have some sort of similarity in their backstory that makes them connect and turns everything steamy.
Okay.
And maybe they can't go back to where they were because in order to be together, she would be arrested or something, right? And she doesn't want to sell him to who was going to buy him because...
That's...
terrible phrasing.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't want to...
Sorry, I'm like, you just kind of slid into a whole nother thing.
No, like, but like, she doesn't want to turn him into like the people that paid to have him kidnapped. Because that's like going to be a terminal situation for him, right?
Got you. Okay, yeah.
And so their like grand gesture, happily ever after, is that they run away together. But I don't have a Dark Knight and stuff.
Mm. Well, I think like the Dark Knight is kind of built in. It's that decision to, fulfill the job or whatever the job is.
Yeah. Or the decision for him to, maybe he has a way to actually turn her in and the decision not to turn her in. Yeah, it's very problematic, but I like it.
Well, so there are ways that I think you can do it in like a non-problematic way. Mm-hmm. Like, there's that movie, I think it's called Bounty Hunters.
Okay.
And it's got, what was the name of the lady from Friends? She plays...
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Cudrow. Aniston. She's okay. in it. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston. And it's her and, like, some, like, male comedian.
Okay.
And, like, the thing is, like, he's a bounty hunter and she's, like, you know, I don't know, has, like, a million parking tickets or something. Like, there's some reason that, like, he ends up kidnapping her and it's, like, for, like, to bring her to court kind of thing. And so, like, it doesn't end, like, as dark as it could, like, but, you know.
Okay. I know nothing about this, like, movie at all.
Oh, okay.
Is it cute? I'll
put the trailer and send it to you. Yeah, it was cute.
All right, so is it your turn now?
Yeah, I guess.
How about best friend sibling?
Okay.
And try and think of, like, a very plot-driven, like, okay, all I have is fake dating in my head, and I feel like that is just, like, not unique enough. Sorry. I thought there'd be something like faster in my brain.
Don't worry, I'm cutting all of the dead air out.
I figured you were. How about best friend sibling and grumpy sunshine? Like, it's not a very plot driven. Oh, how about best friend sibling and one night stand?
Okay. I guess that one of them is like the older brother of maybe. I'm also just going to go with MF because the older brother of the heroine's best friend. And so, like, clearly, you know, there's that kind of, does it happen in Clueless? Is that what's going on there? No, she just goes after Clueless, her own stepbrother. Never mind. What was the second trope?
One night stand.
One night stand. Okay, so they have, like, a one night stand. Say it's like her friend's bachelorette party.
Okay.
And like, or you know, her friend's getting married. So like everyone's here in close quarters at like, let's say it's a destination wedding.
Okay.
Because, you know, now they're stuck together. Maybe the best friend is like, the one who's getting married to somebody is like, nothing can go wrong. You know, she's all bridezilla, control freak kind of mood. And she's like heavily depending on her... what do you call it?
Maid of honor?
Her maid of honor, yes. To make sure everything goes off without a hitch. And, you know, obviously, at maybe the bachelorette party or whatever, the heroine sleeps with the older brother and the best friend's older
brother. Does she know it's the best friend? Let me be clear.
Yeah, no, she has to.
She has to. Okay.
She has to. I don't think there's, like, any way that she wouldn't. I mean, I guess.
I think there's plenty of ways that she could not know.
In a way. Yeah, like, just meet somebody at, like, the hotel bar and then be like, you know what, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, you're part of the wedding party. Yeah. And then I feel like the way I've built it kind of cuts me off at the knees because I was like, and then we throw in a secret baby trope. And I'm like, wait, hold up, we can't do that. Physically impossible. You would need 2 weeks. I don't know. Where should it go from there?
Okay, so they have a random hookup, realize that they're both in the bridal party. Best friend is super overprotective, or super, like, demand Bridezilla, right?
Ooh. Oh, okay. Here's a thought. Here's a thought. Because the maybe the sister who is doing her Bridezilla thing, like, you know, is in such a control freak moment. She's like, okay, he's like, she does. I'm thinking either she's like trying to be like, hey, you got to keep my brother. You got to do like a matchmaking thing with like him and like whatever other bridesmaid I'm setting him up with.
Yeah.
You know, in order to accomplish some goal, if whether that goal is like, don't let him sleep with all the bridesmaids because he's got that reputation, or don't let him hook up with his ex again, kind of thing. You know, she like something, some element of like, you got to keep him away from this person.
Or it could also be like, he would be perfect for so-and-so, or she would be perfect. They both live in the same town, have similar interests. And so she's trying to, like, smoosh them together. And maybe there was already a date planned with that other person, right?
Yeah. And I think if you have, like, the main character, like, the heroine being, like, such, like, in that role of has to keep everything together and has to, like, make everything do, like, go right, you have a bunch of room for like hijinks of them being in the same room together and pretending they don't have super huge amounts of chemistry together, you know, go through all the, I don't know, someone's,
what if she knows something, doesn't
work on their dress anymore?
Well, what if she knows something about like a birthmark in like a scandalous spot, and they're playing like a stupid party game or something like that, like a truth or dare sort of thing, and like, do you have, who here has like a has a birthmark,
like put your
right
pinky down if you have like a weird birthmark,
exactly, kind of, and thing. He doesn't, and she's like, yeah, you do, like, sort of thing, and like that's when, like, the cat's out of the bag,
and then everyone like looks around like, no, I think you need like a bigger kind of reveal.
Yeah,
I don't know what it would be, though, but I do know that, like, the timeline is that, like, everything needs to go to shit, like, the night before the wedding.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is.
You know, everyone's like, actually, maybe I'll book a plane ticket home right now.
There's an implied, like, ticking clock. That's all I want to say tonight. Like, that's the second time I've tried to say that phrase, like, and said it incorrectly tonight.
Like, the whole thing is about friendships being ruined and emotions running high in situations they don't really need to be running high in.
Exactly. And then obviously we have the complacent groom in the situation too. That would be like the counterpoint.
He's just there and he's unhelpful as possible.
Yeah.
Do you need any more on
that? I think you're good.
We call that one good. Yeah.
Do you want to give me another one?
Oh, I gotta think of some more. I don't know.
Like, I know. I made a little list of like,
oh, what's your list?
I have sex contract, blackmail, socialite / townie, amnesia.
What is socialite / townie? Oh, I love an amnesia trope.
I do too, and I never read them, and like I feel like I don't see them very often, except for like in Regency.
Really?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've seen a modern day amnesia since like Overboard in the 80s.
Really? Not even like 50 First Dates?
Oh, I guess that is an amnesia trope, isn't it? I didn't like it, though.
Yeah.
It just made me sad, honestly.
No, okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, so I can't comment on
it. I mean, it has a happy ending, right? And, like, spoiler alert to listener, if you also haven't seen this from, like, 2001. do you want me to give you, like, the whole premise of the story?
No, I know it pretty much. Do you know the ending? I just haven't seen it. Does she forget again?
She never stops forgetting. She forgets every 24 hours of her life, right? But in the end, they have set up, like, a movie for her to watch every single morning that, like, kind of recaps the past, you know, 10 years of their lives together, right? And they have, like, a kid and, like, all this stuff together, right? And it's, like, you know, obviously sweet the way it goes about, like, saying how happy they are together and this and that. But it's also really sad, and also the idea of this poor woman waking up pregnant, like giantly pregnant.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. Yeah. Like, I just don't, terrifying. I can't take it at face value, guys. It just makes me sad. So, like, like, yeah, she knows she has this kid and the kid's name and like this and that. It's like, mommy. but like the trauma of having a mom that forgets you every single night is really sad. Like, I mean, my God, there's just so many layers about it that breaks my heart. So, but yeah, it is an amnesia trope. Mm. Oh, how about,
I think,
yeah, blackmail and like the wedding singer, right?
I have not seen the wedding singer.
No, like that's the trope, is like using the wedding singer. It's kind of not a very big trope. I'm thinking of that girl that like ended up singing at her ex's wedding.
That TikTok I sent you.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I do love that.
I love that.
I think that like is so much its own kind of story, but like it also isn't very romance oriented. It's very much like a revenge kind of trope.
Well, and I think that, like, if you were to do, you could do the whole, like, journalist covering the, like, viral video, and she's just trying to put it behind her, but, like, this journalist has, like, figured out, like, all this stuff and is, like, trying to talk to her.
I guess. I feel like you kind of leave the most exciting events, like, this built-in really exciting dramatic moment, you know, you kind of make it happen and then like forget it. Like it has little to do with the plot.
Yeah, it does have
little to do with the bulk of the story rather than being something you build up to.
Yeah, but like if you build up to it, I don't know how it could be a romance.
No, I think you could have like a character who's like, you have the someone who gets the job and realizes like, oh my God, it's, you know, I have to sing at my ex's wedding. Do I even tell them? Mm-hmm. And I think you would have to do it like very kind of short, fast-paced kind of story where like they fall in love in like 24 hours or whatever, because you know, like,
or there could
maybe
be...
it's someone in the band, or
yeah, it could be someone in the band that's like, and don't do this, like don't do this,
yeah,
and then the Dark Knight could who's be like that they did it.
Yeah,
okay, I see how that story works. Do you want to do more? Is this a fun exercise?
We can do more. We are at 45 minutes.
Yeah, but a lot of that is quiet time while we think.
So. Yeah, true. Okay. Let's do one more. Let's do one more.
Do you want me to...
Here, you come up with a trope and I'll do a trope. And then we'll talk it out together.
That's what I thought we'd do. Okay, cool.
I'm glad we have the same brain.
I know. Thank goodness that both the one brain showed up today. So,
okay, I gotta look up. I'm Googling a list of tropes because I gotta.
If I said like a secret pact, would that, like, I'm thinking of like a secret pact to bring someone down, like to like bring someone to ruin, right?
Okay, that's very nefarious.
It is. So, like, okay, so you understand what that idea is?
In what kind of setting? Like, in a contemporary setting?
I'm
like
open-minded what kind of scale? To setting. But, like...
Okay.
But, like, there's, you know, a group of friends that are seeking revenge against someone. And so they come up with this plan for how they're going to get that revenge. And in the course of, like, the one person that has contact with, you know, the bad guy, quote unquote, they start to realize like our perception was wrong. Like there's something more here. And this person I actually love. What do you think? You want to play with that idea?
It's not very much a romance trope.
I think it can be.
I can see it being like, yeah.
It just, what trope would you throw out there?
I'm looking at a list of these. So there's Grumpy and Sunshine. Mm-hmm. I like that
I do
one.
Like Grumpy Sunshine. I almost threw that one at you, but I was like, I just feel like this is just...
Matchmaking gone wrong?
That's kind of like Josh and Hazel.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I feel like it needs like a little more oomph. Yeah. Those two things together aren't... I love a mistaken identity.
I love a
like,
mistaken identity.
Like, there's just so identity. Much inherent yes. drama. Matchmaking gone wrong with
mistaken identity. I mean, that's the plot of Moulin Rouge.
Oh, is it?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. You're right. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, okay, besides Moulin Rouge, how would you want to do that?
Okay, so we have mistaken identity and matchmaking gone wrong.
Yes. What kind of setting would you want? Like a regular contemporary?
I mean, I always think better in contemporary, but I could definitely change setting.
No, I just want to, like, get a baseline for what you're thinking.
Okay, so we could do it where the person being set up on the date is, like, kind of beleaguered about it. Right?
Okay.
And then the person who they think they're supposed to be going on a date with is just kind of always like looking for love, right? And okay, so when yeah. someone comes up and is like, you know, are you here for me? They're like, yeah, I am, right?
Just responds to every possible pickup line with, yeah, like, hell yeah. And just mistaked every, like that wasn't a pickup line. It's like, no, no, it wasn't. No,
I sure mean, I feel picked up.
I love that as like an entire personality yeah. for a person. Like this is, they're just always down.
They're just a total everything. Yes guy.
And you know
guy,
what?
Yeah.
I think like we'll do the quote unquote reverse grumpy sunshine.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderfully.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely. Okay. Are you cool with that premise? Like the yes. meet cute, essentially?
That is the meet cute, yeah. yeah.
How do we have the mistaken identity? Like, are both guys named Dave and they just have, like, the most common AF name?
I think, like, it's gonna have to be, like, oh, he'll meet you at this cafe and he'll be wearing, like, a red scarf and that's how you'll recognize uh-huh. him kind of thing. And maybe it's, like, she's trying to... There's, like, an event at the end of the book that she has to, like, go to and... I don't know, maybe she thinks she's dating her boss's son, and then it's like, no, that's a stranger you brought to this this big event. And I don't know, something that she thinks she's doing for, like, maybe doesn't have, like, absolutely great reasons for. Like, oh, if I date my boss's son, I'll get a promotion later.
Okay.
I don't know, just, like, get on my boss's uh-huh. good side. And then, like, so she feels icky kind of about it. But then she also genuinely likes this person that she's kind of stumbled into a romance with.
What if,
not knowing that this isn't the right person.
What if it's not necessarily matchmaking as much as, like, they're not expecting them to, like, the boss is like, hey, go show my son around town. I think you two would really
okay,
have
yes.
a lot in common and become friends, right?
And then so, like, she keeps telling her boss, yeah, no, we're actually, we started a date and we're, like, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, we're having so much fun. Yeah. And we're getting along so well. And then it all comes crashing down.
Yeah. And, like, she just never showed up. And what if, like, the boss's son is, like, super, super shy?
Yeah. He's just utterly dipped.
Yeah, exactly. So then obviously the boss's son would be the sequel to this book.
Obviously.
That's the way that would work.
I actually really like that, like, that whole plot
setup. Yeah, I do too.
It's, so,
it's a cute duology.
It's a little bit out there. And now you have to go write all of these.
Oh, thank you. I'm giving you the kidnapping one. So
I think okay, you saw I'll take me do the my kidnapping best. One.
But it's just, I think that one's for you.
This is a fun little
it
game.
Is.
And I think, honestly, this is how I want to, like, plot all my future books, because... I definitely do, like they just, you know, they mesh together so well. You're like, you don't even have characters. You just have, like, some ideas, and then, like, everything else kind of springs into being to be like, all right, this is what will make this work.
What's really funny is I have, like, a distinct memory of us doing Mad Libs and you being like, I'm going to use this for plotting in the future.
Yes. I did say that last time. I was thinking about that as I was saying. I'm like, no one will remember that.
This is my tradition now. Much like Cringemas.
Making a resolution I will never follow.
Much like Cringemas is my, like, we have to stop doing this or I'm going to rewrite this book. You also will find a new way to plot every time we do our season finale. What do you think, Kate?
I think that was pretty great.
I think it was super cute.
Honestly, I feel so good about that.
Awesome. That's awesome. Do you want to give a piece of writing advice?
Piece of writing advice. I think I've definitely said it before, but it is so important if you have ADHD, and if this works for you, it may not, to set up two things at the same time that you keep promising you're going to work on and just ping pong back and forth between the two of them. And that's how you will get things done.
I love that. My piece of writing advice is, like, do creative practices outside of what you normally do.
Ooh, okay. Like non-writing things?
Well, like,
or
this tonight. Like, this isn't something that we normally do, but, like, this was a really fun little challenge.
Yeah, and I feel like any of these...
could be viable for something,
you know, you
yeah.
could walk away with.
Well, and then also...
like, and have, like, a new idea to work
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and then, like, even just, like, the list of tropes that, like, we threw out there. Like, there's a couple tropes there, like, I hadn't thought about in a long time. And so it's kind of getting me thinking a little less, less of, it's making me think of stories that I wouldn't normally think of. And I think that's really cool. It's a fun little exercise. So Kate is at By Kate Pryor on Instagram and TikTok. And you can find her on Mastodon in Romancelandia.
Yes. And my newsletter, I'm starting to use that more often, is you can sign up for it at kate-pryor.com. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it'll come out while we're on break, but just in case it does, you sign up for the newsletter in case the book comes out while we're on break. The book that has not been announced because it doesn't have a title yet.
Oh my gosh, I have to title this silly short story. I'm starting to just lean into the one that I have that I don't love. But do I hate it or do I like it? I don't know.
Literally. I don't know. It's a cute title, but I think it's a little bit different than what you normally do.
Is it a cute title, though?
It's got a different vibe.
I don't know.
I think it could be cuter.
Yeah.
But, like just by adding a couple more words to it.
Okay. We'll have to talk about what words you'd add to it. Okay. I am Marty V. Author on TikTok and Instagram, and you can sign up for my newsletter at martyv.com. And that is the best way to know what's going on with me. And yeah, I don't think I'll have anything. I will have a short story that comes out to my newsletter in April. So if you want to get that free short story, do a little sign up. And then I shouldn't have anything coming out while we're on break. I think we'll both have releases as we're back to recording and doing our thing. Right?
I hope.
Yeah. Anyway, listener, it's going to be weird not to talk to you every week, but we'll be back.
Yeah, we will. Hello. We will. Eventually.
Yeah. In May.
I promise we're not going to, I'm going to try to promise that we're not going to be as long as we were last time.
A long break.
When life just continually kept kicking us down the stairs.
It was bananas. And then we came back.
It just didn't stop.
And then we came back and it continued, though. Like, it was just like.
Yeah, it
yeah.
did.
So I think we just need to, like, start up regardless of what life is doing, kind of.
You think?
Kind of. Okay. I mean, but, like, you don't have, you really did have, like, family events happening that were, like, that's yes. not going to happen again this year. So, yeah.
No one's getting married randomly in the middle of yeah. summer on extremely short notice.
Yeah, that's not going to happen again this year. So it'll be fine. That was really the big thing that I was like, yeah, no, we can pause for
that.
That
was a big thing.
I think it was worth pausing.
I can't promise no more funerals and no more getting sick. God. December last year, my mom and my dad went to a concert. This is like the first time they've stepped out of their COVID mm-hmm. bubble, you know, like their house. Mm-hmm. And they immediately both got COVID. And this was the week I was, like, in Florida on a work trip.
I remember that, yeah.
And I came back, and it's like, everyone's sick. You have to, like, drive everyone to the hospital. And that was so much.
Dude, yeah.
And that my mom is going to another concert in, like, a month? Not
even. Has she gotten boosted?
And I'm like, I hope you get boosted before you go.
Yeah, please. I know, we're coming up on our 3-month mark from like when we had COVID, and so it's like, oh, we gotta get the whole family boosted. Like that wasn't
so
fun.
I know it's starting to be like only once a year now. Yeah, we could talk about that there.
So listener, we hope you also have a great time and that life doesn't keep on kicking you or whatever it does.
Yeah,
I hope it's good.
That thing it does
where it does a lot. But we hope that it's not a lot. And we'll see you back in a couple weeks. Okay.
Bye.
Bye, listener. Bye.